Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker!
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We have such a reserve of topics and events to discuss. I don't even know where to start. Should we start? First of all, I can't believe it is mid-September. Where has
what
the month
the hell?
Gone?
What has the year gone? It feels like yesterday I had COVID and I was severely ill at the beginning of the year. And now my sinuses and allergies are killing me. Mm. Oh, has the time passed?
It's so true. Like, whatever COVID time warp occurred that, like, made the time in isolation feel so long and disjointed, now it feels like this year is accelerated, like, to a crazy degree. It just gets, even because my anniversary came up at the end of August and stuff, like, actually having all these markers of what has been a year, like, oh, a year ago I was on my honeymoon, a year ago I was, like, we were just doing this. I'm like, it feels crazy to me. I think it feels like, you know how in Game of Thrones the plot is that, like, the seasons have become out of whack? Part of what's happening in Game of Thrones is that the seasons have come out of whack and they don't last for normal amounts of time. I feel like I'm living in Game of Thrones time. Like,
that's a very,
the seasons and the time has become out of whack and, like, nothing feels
totally
the way it should.
Well, exactly. Like, the normal markers have long been gone with, like, temperature. Like, it is mid-September, but we're still not really, I mean, we sort of had a little false fall, but it's still summer. It still feels like summer every day.
Today is pretty ideal.
This is a great little window.
I did put a little thin coat on and immediately regretted and went back to what I like to call Luann. I mean, I casually around my neighborhood, and I know Elise can also identify, I dress like Luann from King of the Hill. a bike shorts and a sports bra is what I'm wearing.
Well, this is famously Princess Diana outfit weather.
It is that
false fall window where you can wear a crew neck and bike shorts, which is a great time to say we have a brand new crew in the Betches Sup shop. It's very cool. Sammy helped design it. It's like designed after sort of like a country club, but it says Democracy Voters Club and it has like years on it. It looks very cool and it's like very subtle and it would be perfect with some bike shorts. But it is that brief, beautiful window. And September 15th is famously, Millie's hour long performance. How are you feeling? Today's the day.
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I just went to sleep with all the lines in my head. I'm so excited to embarrass myself in front of tens of people.
I'll be there. I'll be one of them. I'm one of the tens. And yeah, if any sup listeners are there tonight.
I bet they will be. I'll share it
on
our
drinking,
stories tonight.
I'm not drinking this month, so I will probably be very subdued and mellow at the show because I am still California sober.
Which means cocaine and weed. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'll be fucked up. No, come say hey if you're at Millie's show.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go depending on the outcome of Morty's 4,000th vet visit of the year.
Oh my gosh. Morty.
It's so rough. He's doing better, but like it's just so frustrating. We don't understand like why he's gotten worse. It's like if you brought like a fully healthy, like a dog that had no pre-existing condition to the vet and you were like, he's really uncomfortable and in pain suddenly and we've never had a problem. We don't know what it is. They would be like very curious and eager to fix it. But people just kind of hear megaesophagus and they kind of like throw up their hands because usually it is like the prognosis is terrible. So it's like nobody will believe us when we're like, he has been fine. Something has changed. We need to figure out what has changed. So he's just like at the end of like, he did have pneumonia again, which is really bad. Like, he should not be getting it this often, because every time he gets it, he gets like, they were like, there's scarring in his lungs, and we don't know if it's from like the last, I know, the last most recent bout of it. So I'm going back today, and I've really had to be like very firm with the vets. Like, this is what I think is happening, and this is what I need. And interestingly, the most effective vet we had was the one we had last week, and it was actually the first time I had gone to a woman vet, and I don't know why I'd never put that together.
Yeah, women understand when you go in not being listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she was just like, the first time somebody was like, she's like, let me look into what I don't know. Let me look into what you're telling me that you think is going on, because maybe you're right. And we realized that, like, actually I might be right. But anyway, hoping to come tonight. There's not a live stream, is there?
I don't think so. But I'm going to try to do it again.
Yeah.
I'll be trying to do it again. And then I'm going to try to take it to Los Angeles and to Miami. Hometown Miami. Hero.
Oh, Miami. Wow. I'll come to that one.
Yeah, come to that one.
Yeah, we all sup Miami trip. That sounds amazing.
We should do a sup Miami show. There's probably like a few people that listen to us. Actually, I know there's some sup Florida listeners, because every time I say I'm embarrassed of Florida, I do get an influx of DMs saying that there's a few Betches sup moments in tonight's show that you'll be proud
ooh,
to
cool.
to come to see.
Oh, Millie, you should record them and tag us so we can add them to stories. At least
okay.
If you can.
Okay. Yeah. I will definitely
grab
do
a
that.
Cover. Yeah.
Wait. So hold on. Before we talked about morning. We haven't got to Elise's house flooding, which is awful. let me tell you, I did read the Substack. And the Substack is good, everyone.
It is great.
The minute-by-minute breakdown Substack is good. But
yes, elisemorales.substack.com if you guys want to just read my breakdown of my fourth floor apartment flooding with water at 5 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. The water is gone. Things are good. We are starting a tenants union. That's the
excellent
PLR of today. Yes. Is that all of the tenants are like, we're unionizing. This is
you
not
have
good.
To. You
fabulous.
Have to.
I mean, you got to protect. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you said that the woman that lives underneath you just got completely fucked. Like, her shit's destroyed.
I hope she has renter. Yeah, you really do need renter's insurance, man. Like, if you don't have it, you're fucked.
We like immediately bought it after this issue took place. We're really lucky that really the only thing that was like fully lost to the flood was our rug. But and we are gonna make them pay for the rug.
Of course.
Because our lease says absolutely. They have to pay for our rug. Cause it was their negligence that caused this.
Yes. It could have they are lucky. They could have drowned a small animal. It could have been much worse.
Been really
we're
bad.
Extolling. I mean, there could have been electrical situations. There's just a lot, but extolling the virtues now of renter's insurance and tenants' unions. Gotta have both. Mm-hmm. Gotta have both.
Yes. Power to the people. We also haven't been to the mic since Sammy and my spontaneous White House trip.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Cool.
I mean, Alicia's house flooding is very sad and important, but
it's been an eventful week.
Amanda met Joe Biden.
And no, we didn't meet him.
Wait, you guys are in the same room, no? I saw Raleigh was in the same room.
He
as
was
Joe
in a
Biden.
Different thing as him. So we were there as like press to like meet with cabinet secretaries, and then like the parts like then there was like a small group of like climate activists who we actually met with, which I think was like,
oh, that was
important.
Right.
Yeah.
Raleigh
so there were like small groups
there.
Of activists, and definitely like throughout the whole thing, that's what they were like focusing on was like, they shouted out the climate activists over and over again, but no, we just had to like lug our shit around and stand in the hot sun. We were not there as influencers.
Oh, you were there as press.
Yes.
You got a lot of A-listers. I'm telling you, when I went to VMAs, I did not get any A-listers.
Well, we had a very wonderful guy, Jennifer, who helped us in, who invited us and then made sure we got all of those interviews. But it was fun. It was great. It was like cool to be there and see and be seen and like be, you know, we like saw like, I saw like Amy hug Pete very joyously. Joe
Ooh,
Manchin is
Klobuchar.
A very, commanding presence in person, I will say.
Is he tall or short?
He's very tall. He's very tall.
I thought he would be short. He has short energy.
Me too. Here's the thing about Joe Manchin. And I had been in the sun a little too long on Tuesday, and I was telling Elise, I think I might think this man is handsome.
Okay, Amanda.
She please, did. I was like,
Becca,
Amanda.
Please cut this. Please cut this. And we cannot let her go out like this.
The reason is because I woke up the next day like I had been in the sun too long. What I mean is he was just surprising because he seems like such a squirmy little asshole on TV. And yeah. He probably is a squirmy little asshole. But in person, he has like a commanding, dare I say, charismatic like energy to him where I just can understand why people like can sort of walk away from conversations when he says no and he gets away with it. And it was just kind of like so many people were like going right up to him like, thank you, Senator. Like he had done the whole thing single-handedly, which like
what?
maybe you can explain that like he did like Joe Biden like called him out personally, thanked him. But he was definitely having a great day.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I will say that in my time of being like, in this industry, I've learned that a lot of people are famous for a reason. And like a lot of famous celebrity people do have that charisma and stuff. And since working at SUP, I've picked up that like, oh, like in my interactions on Zoom or even in person with politicians, it's like, oh, you do like they do have a gravitas and they do have like a person of and like. I know on one end, people don't like career politicians or like they think that, you know, there are people who just placate and don't really do anything and whatever, use their position for not good. But at the other end, it's like, just like being a waitress, you need to have a certain personality to get, you know, and that's why people make fun of people like Ron DeSantis or Ted Cruz, right, who literally have none of that.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how many times I've encountered similar to you, Millie, just through Betches or whatever. I've seen either a person who's famous as a politician or like a freaking influencer who's coming through the office or reality star person. And you see them and you're like, oh, they are like,
they're
a little shiny. Like you can tell, like the vampires in Twilight.
I was going to say, that's the thing I've noticed.
They've got a little glow going on. And that can come from being rich and getting your face lasered constantly. And
no, I mean, I'm talking even about a personality.
But personality, yeah. There's an internal shininess that it's like, it reminds you when someone's charming, like charming is a verb. Like it's something that they do. It's an action that they can do to you and they can charm you and they can be charming. And it's like an active thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we dug you out of that hole, Amanda.
Don't worry,
see how
you
we
all.
Saved you.
I was just so taken aback by how like just our impression of him is like ugh, gross. And I bet if we saw Ron DeSantis, I would see it. But like you guys said, it's like everybody on TV like looks amazing, so you don't really realize how they are actually like extra shiny, extra like everybody has like yeah, they're all old, but they're all like really good looking old people.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
I'll say this, like a lot of people say all these things about like Amy Schumer, but she's somebody absolutely like I didn't really understand. I always thought she was funny, but I saw her like in person at like a press kind of thing or a release. And she, her like charisma and all this stuff on the mic. And I'm like, oh, this is why people like, and it's like, yeah, I'm sure it's the same shit.
You know who else is like that? Luann De Lesseps. She comes into the Betches office and she is like super engaging. Like just stares into you and is like, hi girls, what are you doing? What are you up to? And she's just like, there's a reason why she's kind of a maniac. But it's
there's a reason.
That. Okay, we have done a lot of catching up. Shall we get to our topics today? I mean, we procrastinate on this one because it is absolutely, absolutely vile.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll start today with this just really shocking. I think very shocking, even with what we've seen from these people. Story out of Texas and or Florida and Martha's Vineyard. It is like the most disturbing Mad Libs of places. And as Millie remarked several times in our group chat on this first day of Hispanic Heritage Month, no less, about 50 migrants arrived by plane in Martha's Vineyard yesterday. The flight was paid for by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, but it originated in Texas. How? Why? There's still a lot we don't even know here. But according to a spokesperson for DeSantis, it's probably his nasty press secretary. She's the worst.
Oh,
this
God.
This is part of a program funded by the state legislature. And she said in a statement, states like Massachusetts, New York, and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration. These migrants, all 50, came from Venezuela, and they told reporters that they were told they would be going to Boston. These people were staying at a shelter after recently crossing the border into Texas. So they told reporters that a woman calling herself Perla approached them and said that if they came on a plane with her, she'd fly them to Boston for free to get expedited work papers. They're still missing information. I don't know if she flew them private, if this was a private plane chartered by Ron DeSantis's money, if this was, I don't know what identifications they would have had. I have no idea how this happened, which also seems fucked up. I don't think you can just fly, like, don't coyotes do that? You can't just fly undocumented people around.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. Just already what has been said is so fucked up. Number one, you know that Ron DeSantis is one of the people who says, like, we're using taxpayer dollars to forgive student loans and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the type of person. But he's going to use taxpayer dollars on basically a vanity project to fuck with people and charter a damn plane for no reason. He's going to do that. And then also, it's like, one of their complaints about these quote-unquote illegal immigrants, even though a lot of these people are asylum seekers, which is fucking legal to seek asylum, one of their complaints is, like, why don't they go through the system? And then they're going to lie to these people, tell them that they're going to give them legal papers. So basically exploit the fact that these people actually would like to go through the legal process, but trick them and send them to a little island that has no resources for them. Like, it's so sick. It's really sick. It's so sick. It's twisted. Yeah.
So let's get into what happened when they got off the plane. They got off the plane, and the help that they were promised was not there. Why Martha's Vineyard? I mean, because they Republicans and Ron DeSantis think this is where the wealthy elites are vacationing. I mean, like, they're not.
And
because
it's an island.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, way to send them to a place overflowing with liberals and disposable income, which is going to be activated, thank God. But local officials say they weren't alerted about the arrival, but they are working to accommodate and provide safe conditions for everybody. Had they been notified, they could have put something together.
Yeah.
They don't have bedding or hygiene supplies for everyone. You know, the whole community is working to make it happen. Like I said, that's a privileged community. Not everybody there, of course. But Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is a Republican, and he's also helping coordinate the housing and all of this for these people. Some of them children, some of them now traumatized. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's like, you just imagine if, like, you know, Barack Obama lives in Martha's Vineyard sometime. You just imagine if he was like, I'm going to have a bunch of migrants to my house, put them on a plane with no documentation or paper trail. An international incident. Forget about it. But again, we do not, I don't even know what logistically happened here, but obviously the concept, this is human trafficking. It's appalling.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so clear that these people, you know, Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott, like, they don't consider these people to be human beings, you know? And these are people who are trying to do things the right way and go through the right things. And like you said, Elise, like, this is what coyotes do, but at least, like, when you pay a coyote, you know where you're going to end up. The coyote's not going to say, like, hey, I'm going to go to San Antonio and drop you off in Arkansas. Like, they would not get repeat customers. So, like, even coyotes have fucking more accountability than these assholes. And I just know that it's just interesting to me because a lot of Republicans hate Fidel for a lot of reasons, but Fidel, like, as a retaliation, sent a lot of criminals from Cuba. You know, like, it's just, like, repeating the same things that they openly criticize and, like, are just menacing. And also, I'm just like, I wish that this was discouraging a lot of Hispanic voters. You know, we talk about the Hispanic vote all the time and like how Democrats banked on it and like they shouldn't. And there's a lot more Republican Latinos and all that stuff. But I really wish someone would make this big connection, especially because there are a lot of Venezuelans specifically who vote for Republican candidates. And it's just like,
That's what's really interesting to me is that all of these migrants are from Venezuela, which is a country that is on loop in Republicans' mouths being like, you don't want to become Venezuela. What if we turn people into Venezuela? But then when people are fleeing the shit that you say is bad, which like they're right. Conditions in Venezuela are not great. That's why people are coming here. It has to do with a lot of different reasons, but like, when they're fleeing, supposedly, this communist regime that you guys literally will not keep out of your mouth saying is bad, you're going to treat them like animals. You're going to ship them all around to score political points. You're going to do this. It just reminds me of, there's that great Atlantic piece from the beginning of the Trump administration that was titled "The Cruelty is the Point." And that's the first thing that came to mind. It's just cruelty for cruelty's sake. It's cruelty to own the libs, because if they had sent these migrants to Boston, Boston does have facilities to absorb 50 migrants. They don't want to send. And also, they want to pretend like these people are dumb and don't know anything, but these people actually do know that Boston is a city that has resources and stuff. Okay, yeah, I could go to Boston. No migrant, none of these people would ever have agreed to go to Martha's fucking Vineyard. Ever in a million years.
Yeah.
But they tricked them. They dangled real paperwork in front of them. So they dangled their desire to actually work within the legitimate system in front of them, perverted that. Now, how are these people ever going to fucking trust an immigration worker or anyone ever, ever, ever again? There are women and children on this. It's just, it's really sick. It's really disturbed.
Yeah, it definitely, it makes you wonder, like, did what's his name? Who's the evil guy? Stephen what? How have I forgotten? We haven't talked
about
Stephen Miller. Did he call Ron DeSantis? And he's like, yeah. It's like, did he call up Ron? He's like, look, things, I'm bored. I got an idea. Just to
he's like taking care of his kid and like actually trying to fight for paid child leave.
Millie, you mentioned like, would this impact Hispanic voters? But this is just like, voters in general, this has family separation energy. This has an energy. It's like, how could you possibly support a governor who so casually was like, yeah, let's put 50 humans, like they're my chess pieces on a plane and dump them somewhere.
Well, these are, you know, people who vote for them, you know, a lot of them are white supremacists and they could give a fuck if, you know, people, but you know, everyone below that, you know, everyone's beneath them. So of course, right? Like they're like, yeah, you should do it the legal way. But I'm just like, it's just disappointing to see, like, I don't know. On one end, you're right. Like, it should be a deterrent for anybody to want to vote for them. But the unfortunate truth is, like, people only care about people that they identify with, you know? And it's disappointing and disheartening to see that people continue to platform and celebrate politicians that are doing terrible things and would do terrible things to them if given the chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And
And this feels like, you know, something I think we were very aware of when Biden got elected and keeps revealing itself, which is that like Trumpism, it seeped in deep and it's going to take a long time. Like this is stuff that like this is a direct line from rhetoric that Trump made normal and acceptable in 2015, 2016. And yes, he's not in power now, but he popularized it. And what I can't get over the fact that this woman is like, we're going to send it to the states that can take better care of them. It's like, so, but you're the forced birth states and you're admitting that you can't take care of anybody.
Also, like, I'm sorry, Florida has way more Venezuelans, I'm assuming, than fucking Martha's Vineyard. So it's like, these people probably have a network, like,
totally,
just evil.
If they wanted to actually help them, they could have just brought them to Florida. I mean,
Or completed the trip to Boston. Like, they purposefully are sending them to
them
a small, tiny island that is like a vacation spot for wealthy people that does
Vacation's over.
Where the, like, this is a place where it's like, it's actually a fucking pain in the ass to get to Martha's Vineyard. Like, yeah. This is a place that is not designed with, like, having shelters and all that. Like, I just imagine the resources for that in Martha's Vineyard are very low because it's really a vacation spot. Like, it's a tourist destination for rich people for the most part. Obviously, there are people who live in Martha's Vineyards of all different circumstances, but they sent them there and chose Martha's Vineyard for a reason because it, number one, probably seems funny to them, which is fucking sick because these are people.
Part of me is like, are you just like, let's put them in Barack Obama's front yard? Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the idea.
Gross. And Martha's Vineyard, they probably don't know this, but does have like, I saw a really cool TikTok about it, just has like a very rich African-American history.
Yeah.
That goes back like decades and centuries. I don't think Ron DeSantis was educated on that. If there was a book about that in the Florida schools, he would make sure it wasn't there. But it is just like a, like you said, it's Marissa Cabe has tweeted, and you said something similar, human trafficking to get the libs. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Mothers and kids going through this. Like, it's, you know. But like you said, it comes down from Trumpism because not that long ago, we were separating these people and putting them in these camps that were disgusting. And we don't have that policy anymore, but we haven't fully unraveled what it meant that we did that to so many people.
It's like 500 people still haven't met their families yet.
Trump got more votes the second time than the first.
And like the facilities that we were upset about them have not functionally changed. And now, because the policy from the top isn't as cruel as humanly possible, these state governors are like, okay, well, we'll just play games with these people then ourselves.
Next, we'll talk about Lindsey Graham's proposed 15-week abortion ban and why Senate Republicans might think this is a good move. So Graham posed this as kind of an existential question here. He thinks he's playing a really smart game here. He's kind of trying to force Democrats to embrace like extremely late-term abortion on demand and make them do that publicly and often. So he basically yesterday proposed this ban and was like, this is a question, you know, about who we are, America. This is a big question. There are a lot of different and sometimes, that's a very manipulative framing. There's a lot of different and sometimes conflicting polling on abortion rights, but we know the idea of protecting access before around 20 weeks, which was Roe's standard, is favored by about 65 to 75% of Americans. But every single poll asks the question a little differently, mentions a different, you know, time frame, and respondents are super sensitive to how that question is asked, probably even more sensitive when they're talking to somebody because there is still stigma. But 85% of American voters think abortion should be legal in some or all circumstances. So that's probably the stat that is scaring Republicans as, you know, they've come out with these really extreme post-Roe bans. Generally speaking, when heard out of context, people don't like the idea of late-term abortion. Trying to outlaw abortion after the first trimester is a pretty familiar Republican attempt, like I said, to make Democrats talk about this very, very small percentage of pregnancy terminations that also often occur in wanted pregnancies as a result of medical complications, mental health complications. Like, in short, just something that is not the business of the government, a business of a doctor and the pregnant person. The bill does have exceptions for rape, incest, and medical complications, but for the mother, not for the fetus. So I guess if you get a diagnosis that you are not prepared for and it's not something that's going to work in your life, that you no longer have a decision to end that pregnancy in Lindsey Graham's view.
It's really, like, I actually know multiple people who have had to terminate wanted pregnancies because, and it was after the first trimester, not like a full, whatever, Republicans can, I mean, no one ever does what Republicans conceive of as a late term abortion, which is like,
they think a baby's born and then somebody stabs them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They literally will ask, like, is it abortion if it's 10 minutes before? It's like, sir.
It's like, no. That never happened. You fucking idiot.
That's not what happens. But I do know people who have had to terminate pregnancies because they were told by a doctor, this baby is not going to live. This child doesn't have vital organs. It's a fetus. Like, this fetus isn't developing, and what you're going to give birth to, like, the trauma of birth would be so much just to, like, I mean, even imagine it, giving birth to a baby you know isn't going to survive, that's going to maybe already have not survived the actual, yeah, that its life will be painful and horrible for the whatever time that it has on this earth. Like, that's a compassionate decision. That's a heart-wrenching decision that women and pregnant people have to make. And it's just really sick to think that now the idea would be, no, you're going to have to carry this baby to term, go through birth, etc., go through all of that on top of just the emotional trauma of losing the baby to begin with.
I just think, you know, this is all politics, you know, this is all just political for them. There's no, like, personal stake. I mean, Lindsey Graham's never had a wife. Lindsey Graham's never had any children. Like, this is just literally a, you know, they don't care. It's not, like, personal for them. They, because people in their circle are always going to have access to abortion no matter what.
I wonder if they, like, push it on Lindsey Graham for that reason. Like, sorry, bro, you don't have a wife or daughters, so we need you to take this one for the team.
Maybe, but I honestly think he's dumb enough to fucking do this. Like, but yeah, that's just what, you know, yeah, it's these real implications. I mean, that's kind of the problem of these laws right now anyway, is that now in practicality, like, it's super messy and complicated. And Republicans, even in these states where they did outlaw abortions, like, they're encountering all these problems they didn't anticipate because they actually don't know what the fuck they're talking about or making legal. And, like, they don't know the implications of their things because there's literally no women around telling them shit, you know? So, yeah, like, I'm not surprised by this at all, but it's also just like, you know, abortion was the thing that they took, you know, Republicans took on to fight against when segregation became the thing that was actually desegregating was very popular. So they're like, okay, well, abortion will be our next issue. And it's not even about, it's not a, like, truly about abortion with these fucking people. It's about power, about keeping women, all this stuff, because yeah, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They literally think that you're giving birth to a baby and then stabbing it in its neck. Like, they have no idea.
I mean, truly,
what they think abortion is. They think you're killing their baby.
Or they know their actual points are so poor and make no sense that they have to make up these lies. Like, you're right, Millie. It's like you made this your thing for decades and then got caught completely flat-footed about when these bans went into effect. And of course, people are enraged and devastated that women are dying in hospitals and that Kansas came out in record numbers to stop, to make sure that there wouldn't be an abortion ban. And this seems to be their attempt to be like, wait, we're not that extreme. We're not that extreme. But
yeah,
after he introduced this, there was that not that much fanfare either way. I mean, of course, Democrats were like, we can stand up against this. But I'm curious, do you think Americans are going to fall for that? Do you think there are some people that are on the fence of midterms that are be like, you know, 15 weeks, I think I'm uncomfortable with abortion after 15 weeks. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine for voting for Republicans if it's just going to be 15 weeks. Do you think they're going to fall for that?
I think that, like, maybe, like, moderate or like independent people, if they, again, these are like people who have been so old, they don't know, like, they, like, haven't, like, when you're out of touch and you don't know, like, how long it actually takes to, like, have a missed period, mm-hmm. or when you haven't been able, you know, you've been on menopause for over 30 years and you forgot what, like, a pregnancy scare is like. Probably 15 weeks, like, oh, you should know by then. But it's like, mm-hmm. they're completely forget. I mean, I don't know. I feel like
you can know and things can change. It just has nothing to do with, like, they just keep stressing this idea of, like, ooh, it's icky. But it's like, there's lots of medical things that people do that make me uncomfortable. I don't like when people get plastic surgery, they turn themselves into Barbies. That makes me uncomfortable. But that's between them and their doctor. That's got nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with me.
There's this plastic surgeon in fucking Vegas I just saw that's breaking guys' legs to make them taller, but we're 3 to 6 inches.
You would exactly break. These men are breaking that. We have a masculinity problem in this nation. That is the root of everything. That is the root.
Nothing
of everything.
Nothing sexier than a confident short man and these guys. But guess what? Am I going to vote to outlaw it? Do no, I say, listen, family. By 32, if you haven't accepted your height, that's it. No.
You're not allowed to break your legs.
You only have 15 weeks to decide.
Yeah, 15 weeks.
I mean, I saw a lot of people, you know, appalled by this. I don't think that it kind of dilutes Democrats' edge in the midterms too much, but I think it's important to sort of explain to people, you know, our listeners I know to live in places that, like, they hear that and they think that sounds reasonable, but like you're going to have to explain why sometimes either the circumstances of the child or the fetus change, or even your circumstances change. Like, God forbid you have a wanted pregnancy and then you both get laid off, or things happen. And there are plenty of reasons why Lindsey Graham does not need to make this call.
Absolutely.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Finally, let's check in on a few pop culture headlines. People are still furious that live action versions of mythical creatures don't feel realistic enough for them unless the faces are white. So Millie and I discussed the rage over Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones last week. But since then, the trailer for the live action Little Mermaid came out, which stars Halle Bailey. And she, of course, is black. And there have been cruel, heartwarming reactions, just a lot of feelings about this, you know, 20-second clip. Let's start on like a happy note. I mean, I think me and everybody I knew saw this and like lost their mind. Were overcome with emotion.
It's so crazy to me that you could watch that trailer and have the only thing you're thinking about be Halle Bailey's inspired choice to go be.
Yeah. Like,
that was in my
sea. Yeah.
He wish I could be. Like it. Yeah, totally. Like yeah, that yeah, moment that, is no. So fucking good. And yeah. Like, it's such a good choice. And it's so like, it made it so interesting and fun. And it did make, I'll be honest, I don't really like most of the Disney live action remakes.
No,
I think they're pretty fucking boring.
I'm like, why does anyone care about this? They all look so bad.
They're all they're all the most lifeless things, truly like heartless pieces of media I've ever seen. But that choice to have just like a real singer who's gonna do a new take on the songs, I was like, that makes me interested in this damn movie. Like,
for sure. And also, like, who cares? It's a fucking cartoon. Everyone's like, well, in the original Hans Zimmer, blah blah blah, or whatever the fuck, whoever made this stupid ass.
Someone was like, the ocean looks dull. I'm like, have you seen any other of the live remakes? They all look like this.
Bad.
They are ugly. They look bad.
I'm such a sucker. I thought it looked great.
Well, yeah, but I'm just like, people are saying that the original, I think, Swedish guy who wrote the Little Mermaid story was like, well, he was Swedish. Hans Christian Andersen. Yes, thank you. Also starred in Star Wars. I'm kidding.
That was racist.
Yeah. No, I was saying, what's his name? Hans Christensen? What's that
Hayden
guy's name?
Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. Yeah. I was close. But anyway, we were like, oh, well, that guy was Swedish, so she should be sweet. But in that part, like, Prince Eric doesn't end up with Ariel. He, like, treats her like a pet, and she kills herself. Like,
in the original Little Mermaid, I know this because one time my mom bought me a book of Hans Christian Andersen stories that were in the original form, thinking that they were going to be nice, and then she would read them to me before bed, and I would be like, ah! In the original, every step she takes feels like knives coursing through her entire body, and Prince Eric chooses someone else, and she throws herself into the sea and dies. Mm. At the end. Also, there's like a pretty wide interpretation of the original that it's actually a story. Because so Hans Christian Andersen was gay, and that the Little Mermaid is actually like his self-insert character. And it's about his like desire to be with a man who will never choose him, and how he would like give up anything to like have legs and be desired by this man. And that he's always like reaching from the sea to be part of this world that he can never be a part of. So if people want to talk about the real Little Mermaid, let's talk about the real Little Mermaid.
Let's make it gay. Let's piss everybody off.
Let's have that conversation.
Somebody said that they should cast Elliot Page as Prince Eric just to really piss everyone off. But yeah, you know, honestly, time is passing. People want to see like different kinds of interpretations of things. We already had a white Little Mermaid. Let's move on. Let's change it up a little bit. Also, a lot of things that I've seen, which, you know, it's not only just for Black American girls, but Brazil in particular, there's like random shows in America that do so fucking well in Brazil because Brazilian media is like so racist that they don't show like working. So one of the most popular shows in Brazil is Everybody Hates Chris, because it's like one of the first times, which is like a whatever show, like, right? It's like a, but it was like one of the first times Brazilian people saw like a working class Black family that's not like doing terrible things or whatever. Like, it's about drugs, or, you know, that's just like a family that works hard or whatever, and like they fucking go crazy for that. So I also saw a lot of like TikTok reactions translated in Portuguese, and I'm like, yeah, like this impacts so many people. It's not just about United States, but it's also like how people are treated in different countries too. So I don't know, I think it's a global impact as well.
Definitely. Speaking of working class families, we'll talk about the royals for just a moment. I think just because it's been, there are no real updates. It's just been inescapable. And I've seen that inescapability kind of be the theme of this week. A lot of people in the UK, I'm not sure how accurate this is. I've seen a couple different reports, but you know, her funeral is on Monday, Queen Elizabeth, and people's hospital appointments are getting canceled just because there's so much fanfare. There's so much that needs to shut down.
McDonald's is closed.
Other people can't be buried. It's just, it's a 96-year-old lady that died.
I saw a picture of a bike rack in Scotland that had a sign on it that was like, the bike rack is closed because of the official mourning period. And it's like, you can't, how can you close a bike rack? It's a bike rack.
It wasn't like, I mean, like thinking to Diana, like unbelievable tragedy. I would honestly, if the bike rack was closed because a young mother died tragically prematurely, I'd be like, all right, maybe that's a little far. It's a 96-year-old lady. It's a normal old lady dying, and it is disrupting this entire society. Like, that's what's, I mean, already it's like the monarchy, it seems like it's already fighting for its life, and to force this upon millions of people that live there is, it's crazy. It's like, sometimes I think about how, you know, oh, they just have their, like, we don't have that in America. They have their nice little monarchy. That might be fun to talk about sometimes. But, like, it actually has a logistical impact on how they go about their day.
Yeah, I don't want to hear shit about America. You know, they make fun of us with guns, which, honestly, we should get made fun of a lot. But other things about America, like not having nationalized healthcare, whatever, they're just as fucking dumb and stupid with all this dumb shit. They eat beans for breakfast. And they eat sweet beans for breakfast and shit closes for 2 weeks because a 96-year-old lady who fucking hoarded and colonized wealth for, you know, whatever, centuries died. I don't give a shit.
When they said, like, oh, everything shuts down for an official mourning period, I thought they meant, like, government, businesses, official stuff. Whatever. I was like, I mean, that's crazy that the government's not going to do its business for like 10 days, but whatever. I didn't realize that it's fully hospitals. Like
that's crazy.
No one goes.
I guess that's the drawback of when your governor, when your government does, you know, handle a lot of your public services. That's the one drawback.
I guess that
you
is
have
a government
monarchy.
Service there. Yeah. Huh.
The closest thing to that is when a president dies, the postal service closes. And I remember when George H.W. died, people were pissed because there was obviously no mail.
Oh, even when it's a former president? That's
Yeah. When a president dies in the U.S., no postal shit, which whatever, right? Like, it's just one thing, but the inconvenience.
No, the day Trump dies, if my fucking mail is late, that man's going to get rid of
it. I will deliver the mail on the day that Trump dies. I personally promise to. I will deliver the mail. I refuse.
No, honestly, when Trump dies, it's going to be such a fucking party that champagne bottles will pop.
Shred the mail like confetti in the streets.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to have to stop Dancing with the Stars because the Trumps will be on it.
Yeah, that's true. No reality TV. No reality TV the week Trump dies. It's disrespectful. Everything has to stop. They have to stop filming The Bachelor or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Those were our topics for today, but I do want to ask, what has been getting you through the week? Any shows, any practices, any hobbies? What's been getting you through? I've heard all the planets are in retrograde, so what's been getting us through
that? It's been a really rough week. One of my neighbors and friends passed away
Millie.
On Tuesday. Yeah, I know. It was very sad.
I'm so sorry.
I know. But I'm really enjoying Cobra Kai. Well, yeah. Also, he was the guy leading our tenants union. So we're really like organizing to like make sure that we don't lose that. So that's been getting me through like solidarity with my neighbors. And honestly, the new season of Cobra Kai is so good. Cobra Kai is a really good show, guys. Really, really good show. So that's what's getting me through
don't
the week. Sorry.
What's getting me through the week? I enjoyed the Emmys. I love award shows. I'll be the last watching when award shows finally die, which every award show, all of the headlines the next day are like, award shows, are they dead? Right. And I'm like, not as long as I live and breathe. I love them. I love them all. I always try to guess. I did a really bad job at my guessing this year, but even still, I really enjoy them. And there was Cheryl Lee Ralph's speech where she sings the song and then gives her speech actually made me feel really emotional, and it was like a message I needed to hear in that moment of like, you know, this is what striving and keeping going in this like industry looks like. And I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I just really enjoyed them. I thought people looked beautiful. Quinta Brunson's outfit was great. I just really felt good.
Much TV in the past year that I feel like the Oscars I don't really relate to or get excited about because I don't really like, I wish I watched more movies. I want to be a person that watched movies, but I still just like fall asleep. I don't know. I'm never in the mood. I need to do like a self-imposed movie club, but I do watch a lot of TV. So, and I feel like we all watch a lot of TV and talk about a lot of TV. So it felt like seeing like all, I felt like very familiar with everybody there. It was also very cool to see Jean Smart and Cheryl Lee Ralph win on the same night. I saw some like pictures of them when they were younger going around. I can't remember what they were in together, but, that was fun to see. What's getting me through the week is a topic that I was going to include this as a topic, but it genuinely made me quite excited. Did you guys see this, that the Patagonia founder is going to donate? Basically, he's giving his company to climate change, which like practically, I guess, means rather than like, you know, create profit that would go to shareholders, which is normally what you would do when a company gets that big, that will just go towards various like nonprofits that are working to protect the planet, which is like, it's sick. And it's also just like, I love that he did this to show that you can, because I feel like billionaires are always like, well, there's a reason we don't give it all away. There's a reason we don't pay taxes. It's for you. It's because we're smart. We know all the stuff that you don't.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can actually just, at least he put in the newsletter, unbillionarize yourself. Like,
you can do it. Mackenzie Bezos is doing that too. She's like, or I guess Mackenzie.
She's trying.
Bezos or whatever.
Scott, yeah. You know, like the cool thing about this is that like a lot of billionaires, there's like a movement of like planet Earth's not savable. We need to put all our money and resources into going to another planet or the future or like aliens or AI and all that weird shit. And this is someone who's like, no, I'm actually going to put my money here today to fix what we have now. So I think that is great and super motivating and beautiful.
Yeah. And I just love that, like, you know, the private equity guys that buy their Patagonia vests, that is now being redistributed back to the planet. That is our show. Thank you for tuning in this week. We had lots of exciting and unusual episodes, and we always appreciate your appreciation and when you guys get excited for us. So please remember to rate and review if you love the show. It really helps other people find us. So we have to remind you every now and then so it can keep getting up there and surfacing. And the more people that listen, the more that we can do. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.